From the heart of our nation's capital in Washington, D.C., bringing compelling interviews, insightful analysis, taking you beyond the headlines and soundbites into conversations with our nation's leaders and newsmakers, all from a biblical worldview. Sitting in for Tony is today's host, Jody Heiss.
Well, good afternoon. So glad to have you joining us for this Thursday edition of Washington Watch. I'm your host today, Jody Heiss, sitting in for Tony, and so thrilled to have you on board with us as well. We've got a lot coming up on Washington Watch. Let's begin with this.
There are a lot of unanswered questions about the security failures that day, questions about decisions made before the rally, questions about actions during the rally, and questions about statements made after the event concluded. Prior to the rally, why was the president's security detail denied requests for extra resources? Why weren't all the buildings secured? There were a finite number of buildings that needed to be secured. Why wasn't that done? Why was the president allowed to walk out on the stage when there was a suspicious person on the property?
Well, that was Congressman Jim Jordan, who's the chairman of the House Judiciary Committee. He was delivering his opening remarks yesterday during the committee's grilling of FBI Director Christopher Wray. So what did Director Wray reveal regarding the Bureau's investigation into the attempted assassination of former President Donald Trump? And is the FBI, under the Biden administration's Department of Justice, are they even capable of conducting a complete and thorough investigation of this situation? Well, I'll be talking about that with Arizona Congressman Andy Biggs, who is a member of the House Judiciary Committee, where that hearing was held. He'll be joining me in just a few moments. And members of the Navy who refused the government-mandated COVID jab, well, they received some good news this week when their attorneys reached a settlement. Danielle Runyon, she is the senior counsel at First Liberty Institute, which is the organization that represented these service members. She will provide an update on this resolution for religious freedom. And speaking of religious freedom, the U.S. Commission on International Religious Freedom held a virtual hearing to discuss the deteriorating religious freedom conditions in Nicaragua. You may be aware that is where some 11 pastors have been falsely accused, charged, and imprisoned for simply preaching the gospel. Well, Britt Hancock from Mountain Gateway, who participated in that hearing, he will be joining me for an update. And then we have an election integrity segment coming up. A campaign-financed loophole has allowed a Swiss billionaire to spend millions, nearly half a billion dollars, to influence elections here in the United States. Well, why in the world has this been allowed to happen? And how should Congress address this election interference? I'll have that conversation with J. Christian Adams, who is president of the Public Interest Legal Foundation, a little bit later in the program. So we have a lot coming your way, and you don't want to miss a bit of it. But if by any chance you do, I'm sure you know by now our website, TonyPerkins.com. You can catch our archives of programs. You can go back and get notes and tons of resources available there for you at TonyPerkins.com. All right, let's jump into the program right now. As Congress continues its investigation into the assassination attempt on former President Donald Trump, the FBI Director, Christopher Wray, testified before the House Judiciary Committee yesterday, and he revealed, now catch this, he revealed that the shooter, Thomas Matthew Crooks, flew a drone near the event site just hours before the shooting. He also revealed that Crooks also possessed multiple explosive devices. Amazing. What else did Christopher Wray reveal? And how much confidence do House Republicans have in the FBI's ongoing investigation? Well, joining me now to discuss this and more is Congressman Andy Biggs. He serves on that important committee, the Judiciary Committee, as well as the House Oversight Committee. He represents the 5th Congressional District of Arizona. Congressman Biggs, welcome back to Washington Watch. Great to see you.
Great to see you, Jody. Good to be with you.
Well, listen, I got to tell you before we jump into this, I saw you on television yesterday with the joint sessions where Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu spoke, and you and several colleagues around you. It just made me smile. Miss you all, and please send my love to each of them.
I will, and we miss you, Jody. We do.
Well, thank you. All right, let's jump into this. I guess no pun intended, but I'll throw it out here. There were a number of explosive details, I'll put it that way, that FBI Director Christopher Wray revealed in his testimony yesterday. Tell me some of your thoughts from that hearing.
Well, he revealed to us that the shooter had a collapsible stock gun. That had never been revealed publicly, and that may have been how he got his gun up there where nobody could see it. We still don't know whether he carried the gun up or whether it was placed before the event, because Christopher Wray, Director Wray, confirmed that he had been at the scene at least twice prior to the shooting. Obviously, it seems to us that the shooter was casing the place. One of those times he had a drone, and that drone he ran for 11 minutes, live streamed what he was seeing. He took it back behind where he was going to shoot President Trump from, so he could basically look to me like he would have been scoping that out. We don't have actual video because he live streamed it and didn't save it. Just some other things that are important. The explosives, there were a total of three explosives. One, he left at home, two in his car, and he had a transmitter device on his person when he was killed. The receivers for those two bombs, according to Christopher Wray, were not turned on, so they could not have been they could not have received the signal to explode because the signals had not themselves had not been turned on. So there's a lot there. He was focusing primarily on the shooter. That's the area of FBI's investigation. He revealed to us also the other investigations that are going on as well. So there's multiple investigations going on, Jody.
As well as the one right there in Congress that you're involved with. Do you think that the FBI really has a handle on how this shooting was allowed to take place in the first place?
They kind of punted. They said that that's not their role. They gave that to the DA, Department of Homeland Security Inspector General, which is a guy named Joseph Kafari, which oddly enough, the Biden administration is trying to terminate from his employment, although Kafari's done a really good job inspecting what goes on the border. It would be a terrible mistake to get rid of the investigator who's already opened up the investigation on this, but that's your question. I'm dodging your question. Your question is, do we have faith in the FBI? And there's a lot of reasons to believe that we really need to double check everything that the FBI is doing right now.
Yeah, there really is. I mean, all of us, we've watched the FBI in recent years massively take their focus off of their main task. I mean, it seems like they've placed a greater emphasis on seniors praying at abortion facilities and going after parishioners at Catholic churches. And so I think it's a question that everyone has in their mind. You know, when you look at this, Congressman Biggs, did he give any indication that there may have been others involved? Did he give any indication that as to why President Trump was not taken off the stage, or why our snipers were told to stand down, or whatever took place to wait until the potential assassin takes the first shot? Is anything along those lines?
No, no to all those questions. So I've been asking. I know Thomas Massie asked yesterday. Was there? Have you found anybody that who was an accessory, who was facilitating this? And he said no. We asked him about that is to say, they haven't found evidence. He's not saying that there wasn't. He's just said they haven't found evidence yet. Second thing is on the hold. Now, you and I, anybody who's been with a president or a dignitary will know that Secret Service will tell you there's a hold. You have to hold here for a minute. Maybe you're holding for 5 minutes. Maybe you're holding for 10. until they examine and check something. He did not give us that. He said that is in the purview of the DHS IG Inspector General. So he said, we're just focusing, he said, FBI is just focusing on the shooter. So you asked him multiple questions, but there was no to any of those questions. The only one he gave a concrete answer was the accessory to the crime, and he said, we just don't have the evidence yet to determine that. They, just so you know, Jody, and everybody needs to be aware, they have found multiple devices like a cell phone and computer, et cetera, and they are reverse engineering. They're busting through all those, trying to hack them, and they're encrypted, and they want to find out who he was talking to. And we just don't have all that information yet, or at least they didn't reveal that to us yet. And we want to get that information for sure.
We do. And all his social media posts, amazing how much has not become public, is startling. And I'll just say this, and I think you're on to this, but I think a lot of conservatives in Congress think it's a victory that Secret Service Director Kim Cheadle has resigned. She's no longer be. But there's so much more yet to uncover in this investigation, and I certainly hope that that will continue. If I can switch topics, our time is getting away. But, of course, President Biden spoke from the Oval Office last night regarding his decision to step down as a presidential candidate. What did you make of the speech? It certainly wasn't a high marker for telling the truth, but what do you think of the speech?
So I'm going to confess to you, I had something else to do rather than watch it live last night. So I was flossing my teeth. Okay. So I think that's important to know, Jody. The reality is, as I've gone back and looked at what he said, my impressions are the same as everyone else. It just confirmed that he cannot run and lead this country, right? I mean, that's really the bottom line here. And we've known it, you've known it for 3 years. That he is not running this country, that there's some kind of oligarchy there that's running the country. And so he needs to go. And then at the same time, he needs to go. You get the massive cover up and cleaning up of the image of Kamala Harris, who has bungled everything that she's been put in charge of, you know, like the border. She was the border czar, Jody. That's what they called her. Everybody called her that. Okay. And if you don't like border czar, she was appointed to lead the border effort. She was the manager. She was the director, whatever you want to call it. The bottom line is still the same. She failed. And Joe Biden stuck with her. And, I think Joe Biden, if he can't run for office, he can't be the president, he's staying the president, then he should stay in office. You know, there's so much going on that's bizarre about that whole thing, Jody.
Yeah, well, it's evident that he's not fit to run again, but it is also evident he's not fit to run the country. I mean, he just simply is not mentally capable of doing so, particularly at the stage that we are globally and with our own country. So many massive problems to deal with. And I agree with you. If he can't be a candidate, neither should he be the president. America cannot go 6 months without a president. Congressman Andy Biggs, always an honor to talk with you. Thanks for coming on Washington Watch.
My pleasure, Jody. Let's do it again.
All right, look forward to it. All right, friends, after the break, we have some good news from the courts vindicating members of the Navy who refused to take the COVID jab mandate on religious grounds. I'll discuss it right after the break. Stay tuned.
The news reflects the world we live in, but it also shapes it. Like it or not, what we learn about the world on a daily basis impacts our thinking, our worldview, and ultimately our action. So much of today's media is built on a shaky foundation that can send us hurling toward harmful ideas and hopeless solutions. Family Research Council created the Washington Stand to be a news outlet that speaks from a firm foundation, bringing you news, commentary, and analysis of what's happening in America and around the world. The Washington Stand is unapologetically biblical and uncompromisingly committed to truth. Equip yourself for the world we live in with a biblical worldview found daily at the Washington Stand. Find us at WashingtonStand.com. That's WashingtonStand.com. www.thenewsreflects.com.
Research has found that there are 59 million American adults who are a lot like you. There are millions of people around the country who are born again, deeply committed to practicing their faith, and believe the Bible is the reliable Word of God. But that's not all. They're also engaged in our government. They're voters. They're more likely to be involved in their community, and they're making a difference in elections. The problem is that a lot of them feel alone, too. We want to change that. FRC wants to connect these 59 million Americans to speak the truth together, no matter the cost. If you want to learn more about this group and what it means to be a spiritually active, governance-engaged conservative, or if you want to find out if you are one of these sage cons yourself, join us. Go to frc.org/sagecon, sagecon, to learn more. That's sagecon, sagecon, to learn more.
Hi, I'm Georgina, an intern here at Family Research Council, and I wanted to take a moment to tell you about FRC's incredible internship program. This three-month program is both a discipleship and a development opportunity where you get to take part in truly meaningful work and help advance faith, family, and freedom in public policy and our culture. This program features hands-on professional experience here in Washington, D.C., weekly biblical worldview training, tours around the district, opportunities to meet some of the country's most prominent policy experts, and more. The program also includes free housing, a meal stipend, and is available in spring, summer, and fall. If you're a young adult passionate about seeing biblical values championed in our country, as a current intern, I cannot recommend this program enough. For more information or to apply, please go to frc.org/internships. Again, that's frc.org/internships. Apply today.
Good afternoon. Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Jody Heiss, sitting in today for Tony. So glad to have you on the bus with us. All right, we've got some good news to report, and it's always an honor when we have good news to bring your way. But a settlement was announced yesterday that ensures that Navy service members who refuse to have the COVID vaccine for religious reasons, they now have an opportunity to have both their records corrected and their careers protected. The Navy also agreed to post a statement affirming the Navy's respect for religious service members, to provide more training for commanders who review religious accommodation requests, revise a policy related to accommodation requests that was actually changed during the mandate, and they also had to pay $1.5 million in attorney fees. Well, joining me now to discuss this is Danielle Runyon, who is the First Liberty Institute's senior counsel and also chair of their military affairs portfolio. Danielle, welcome back to Washington Watch. Good to have you.
Thank you for having me.
Well, look, congratulations. This is a big settlement. Tell us what this is going to mean specifically for those affected.
Well, we had a mission to protect the careers of the over 4,300 sailors that we represent. And we went in with a strategy, and we came out being able to maintain all of their careers and to allow them to continue to serve without the issues that they face, right? Like you said, records are going to be corrected. Promotion boards are going to have information provided to them so that these people will not have to look back at the impact and the harm that they suffered, and they're going to be able to go forward with their careers and to continue to serve in the way that they did pre-COVID.
That's amazing. And listen, again, not only me, but so many across this country say thank you for the incredible work that you and First Liberty Institute have done. In fact, y'all have been involved in this for a couple of years. I think First Liberty was the first major victory in the nation against the vaccine mandate. Tell us a little bit about that, kind of the history of First Liberty in this whole situation.
Yeah, so, you know, the mandate came down at the end of August in 2021, and pretty much immediately, and even before the mandate came down, the messaging was really, really negative, really punitive, and people just saw the writing on the wall. So We were kind of prepared for those who wanted to submit religious accommodation requests. We were kind of gearing up for the fact that there might have to be a lawsuit that was brought. And then when we saw really how the discrimination was just across the board, across the services, we had a number of Navy SEALs that had come to us and said, you know, our careers are in jeopardy and we don't know what to do. So instantly we decided to represent 35 of them. And from there, we were able to obtain the first relief in the nation out of any of the other cases that were filed. We were able to put the stop to the bleeding to save their careers. And then we decided in January of 2022 to extend that to the over 4,300 sailors that we now represent. And then we got class-wide relief in March of that same year. So really, we set the stage for all the other cases. And we think that this settlement agreement will do the same. Not only will this benefit the 4,300 clients that we have, but we really think this is going to help the other service branches as well.
Yeah, that's my next question. How widespread is this going to be? What kind of rippling effect is this going to have across the entire military? I know there have been pockets of successes along the way, but how widespread is this going to be, do you think?
I think that we've made a significant impression on the Navy, on Navy leadership. And look, how does that not extend to other service branches? People are taking a look at this and saying, you know, this was a settlement agreement. This was not something that the judge came out and ordered. And frankly, we think that the relief that we got is even more than the judge could have ordered, because early on in our case, Justice Kavanaugh made it clear that there's certain things that judges can't do when it comes to military affairs. So, you know, if one service branch is recognizing that there was significant harm here and that things needed to be corrected, it's undoubted that the other service branches are recognizing that as well. Frankly, if these tens of thousands of people were removed from the military, the national security crisis that we'd have on our hands would be monumental.
Yeah, I was just going to mention that. I know the every branch has fallen horribly below their recruitment goals, and part of the reason has to come back to the fact that their religious accommodations, this whole debacle through the COVID thing was just, and the Afghanistan withdrawal. I mean, there's so many things to point to, the woke policies being forced upon them. But this is a huge part of it, and I would anticipate that when things like this start getting corrected, potentially we're going to see a turnaround in some of those recruitment goals as well. What kind of response have you received from various service members who have been affected by this, or maybe some who have not been affected by it but are greatly encouraged by it?
From the service members who have been affected by the mandate, those who had their religious liberty rights severely impacted, we have had tremendous thank yous. I mean, we had people who were ready to retire, who almost lost everything that they had sacrificed over the past 19 years to 20 years of their careers. That was about to be all lost, and we were able to protect those service members. You know, there's others who have come to us and have said, you know, the harm that I've experienced, that my family experienced through this, being stashed in positions that made no sense for my career, those people still have claims that they can bring. And the court yesterday made very clear that is allowed. And in fact, the government's counsel also made very clear that if there's other harms here, people can pursue that in other ways. But in terms of the relief that we requested and that we got, it was within the full jurisdiction of the court. We achieved everything that we possibly could have out of this case. And that was our goal, and we achieved that, and that's a significant victory. It was a long, hard-fought battle over the past 3 years, but every step of the way, we achieved excellent case law precedent and now a settlement agreement that people can walk away with and have in their hands to say, my career is protected, and here are the reasons why.
That's fantastic. Well, I know just in my time as a member of Congress, we had so many service members who were dealing with this very issue on the cusp of losing everything that they'd been a part of for decades, some of them. And to see this breakthrough is a tremendous step forward for each of them. Again, hats off to you and everyone there at First Liberty. We are deeply, deeply appreciative. Thank you so much, Danielle Runyon, for joining us today on Washington Watch. We appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
All right, we've got, it's always, like I said, great to be able to bring good news. We love bringing good news your way. You're not going to hear good news from the mainstream media. They're going to focus on pushing their agenda. So we're glad to bring some other news to you. All right, we've got an update on an effort to help the unjustly imprisoned Nicaraguan pastors coming your way right after the break. So stay tuned to Washington Watch. We'll be back in a moment.
America was a bright light until the culture gave into darkness. But we won't. We're in a battle for the soul of our nation, between right and wrong, between truth and lies. At a time when the mainstream media is blocking Americans from truth, millions are searching for a source of trustworthy news that shines a light in the darkness. At this time of great need, FRC is lighting the way forward. For 40 years, Family Research Council and its partners have stood together to advance and defend biblical truth in government and culture. Between our flagship broadcast program, Washington Watch, with Tony Perkins, to our news outlet, The Washington Stand, FRC is providing believers across the country with news they can trust from a biblical worldview. When you stand with FRC, you help light the way forward for America and the next generation. Go to frc.org/give.
If you're a young adult passionate about seeing biblical values championed in our country, check out Family Research Council's internship program. This three-month program is both a discipleship and development opportunity where you get to take part in truly meaningful work and help advance faith, family, and freedom in public policy and our culture. Featuring hands-on experience, biblical worldview training, free housing, and more, this internship is a great opportunity for spiritual and professional development. Check out frc.org/internships to apply today.
As a congressman, Jody Heiss witnessed firsthand how the gradual erosion of congressional integrity has crippled America's faith in its most essential institutions. His newly released book, Sacred Trust, Election Integrity, and the Will of the People, sounds the alarm on the attempts of career bureaucrats to subvert our elections and provide solutions to make every vote count. Help preserve election integrity and order Sacred Trust today wherever books are sold.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Jody Heiss, sitting in today for Tony. I'm glad to have you with us. All right, this week, the U.S. Commission on International Religious Freedom held a virtual hearing to discuss the deteriorating religious freedom conditions in Nicaragua. And they suggested some policy options for the U.S. government to potentially pursue. Well, we've discussed here on Washington Watch the plight of 11 pastors who have been wrongfully jailed in Nicaragua on sham charges after they simply led some Christian revival gatherings. It reached, by the way, more than a million people. But these 11 pastors, listen to this, friends, they received sentences ranging between 12 to 15 years in prison, and they were assessed fines of $80 million per person. Not eight, $80 million per person. Stunning. Well, potentially, can this committee that just, this commission that just met on international religious freedom, could this perhaps be a step forward to exonerating these pastors? We all certainly hope so. And joining me now to discuss this is Britt Hancock. He's a missionary to Nicaragua with the ministry Mountain Gateway. Britt, welcome back to Washington Watch. It's an honor to have you.
Thank you so much. It's an honor to be here again.
Well, listen, tell us about this hearing from the Commission on International Religious Freedom.
Yeah, we were so blessed and thankful to have the opportunity to testify in the USURF hearing on focused hearing on Nicaragua. And because, you know, the more focus that we can get, the more likelihood that these different things that Congress and the State Department and hopefully other agencies in the executive branch can reach out and really send the signal to Nicaragua that the entire United States government is serious about this, that we as a country are serious about religious freedom, and that tyranny and totalitarian ideas are not okay with us.
Absolutely. Well, you mentioned Congress. I know Alabama Congressman Robert Aderholt, as well as some others, other members of Congress, are passionate about this issue. But as you bring Congress up, how would you like to see Congress help? What can they do at this point that would be helpful?
There's a couple of things that they can do at this point. There's a resolution in the House, Resolution 1019, sponsored by Barry Moore, and I think there's close to 28 or 29 co-sponsors right now. We need that passed. Then Senator Rick Scott has sponsored a companion resolution to that one, Senate Resolution 607. We need that passed. We need as many Congress members of Congress to make noise as possible. We need the Nicaraguan government to understand that everybody's serious about this, and it would be great if we could have Congress members calling for proof of life for our prisoners. We've had no contact with the prisoners since they were arrested in mid-December, 7 months ago. And the families have not had any contact. Their legal representation in Nicaragua has not had any contact. We have really no direct information about them. So we need a proof of life. We need Nicaragua to respond and you know, show us the prisoners. And the State Department and Congress members asking and putting pressure on that in a public and visible way. We really need that right now.
Wow, that's stunning information. What happened in Nicaragua, I guess, is really what I want to ask. Has this been something that caught you by surprise, their reaction to these pastors? Has this been coming? Is this a kind of standard policy? What is going on in Nicaragua, and is this new?
This is not new. In 2018, there was a big uprising that the current government there put down pretty brutally. It's well documented how they responded, and they've thrown many people in jail. They've canceled the registration and kicked out many, 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 over 3,500 nonprofits. And among those nonprofits, hundreds of religious organizations. They've shut down schools and things like that. And so we actually had considerable tension and doing our best to respond to the Lord when he put it on our heart to do these mass evangelism campaigns in 2023, which the government completely agreed with and gave us all the permissions and helped us in many ways. But when over 200,000 people came to our meeting the last campaign in November the 11th, we had over 200,000 people in the National Plaza. We had 6,000 evangelical churches working together. That's a pretty massive movement. And if you just, they just responded normally. They're paranoid over anything that they perceive to be a threat to their power base and anything that could turn into a political movement to overthrow them. We had no interest in politics.
We're going to have to stop there. Listen, we want to continue praying for you and these pastors. Britt Hancock from Mountain Gateway. Friends, check them out. And continue praying for this situation. Much more coming your way on Washington Watch right after the break. Stay tuned.
The news reflects the world we live in, but it also shapes it. Like it or not, what we learn about the world on a daily basis impacts our thinking, our worldview, and ultimately our action. So much of today's media is built on a shaky foundation that can send us hurling toward harmful ideas and hopeless solutions. Family Research Council created the Washington Stand to be a news outlet that speaks from a firm foundation. bringing you news, commentary, and analysis of what's happening in America and around the world. The Washington Stand is unapologetically biblical and uncompromisingly committed to truth. Equip yourself for the world we live in with a biblical worldview found daily at the Washington Stand. Find us at WashingtonStand.com. That's WashingtonStand.com.
America was a bright light until the culture gave into darkness. But we won't. We're in a battle for the soul of our nation, between right and wrong, between truth and lies. At a time when the mainstream media is blocking Americans from truth, millions are searching for a source of trustworthy news that shines a light in the darkness. At this time of great need, FRC is lighting the way forward. For 40 years, Family Research Council and its partners have stood together to advance and defend biblical truth in government and culture. Between our flagship broadcast program, Washington Watch, with Tony Perkins, to our news outlet, The Washington Stand, FRC is providing believers across the country with news they can trust from a biblical worldview. When you stand with FRC, you help light the way forward for America and the next generation. Go to frc.org/give.
If you're a young adult passionate about seeing biblical values championed in our country, check out Family Research Council's internship program. This three-month program is both a discipleship and development opportunity where you get to take part in truly meaningful work and help advance faith, family, and freedom in public policy and our culture. Featuring hands-on experience, biblical worldview training, free housing, and more, this internship is a great opportunity for spiritual and professional development. Check out frc.org/internships to apply today.
As a congressman, Jody Heiss witnessed firsthand how the gradual erosion of congressional integrity has crippled America's faith in its most essential institutions. His newly released book, Sacred Trust, Election Integrity, and the Will of the People, sounds the alarm on the attempts of career bureaucrats to subvert our elections and provide solutions to make every vote count. Help preserve election integrity and order Sacred Trust today wherever books are sold.
Good afternoon and welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Jody Heiss. An honor today to be sitting in for Tony. All right, probably most of you saw it, or at least you saw portions of Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu when he spoke to a joint session of Congress yesterday. One of the things that he said that really jumped out to me powerfully was when he said, give us the tools faster and we'll finish the job faster. Well, friends, I think that's not only a powerful statement, it's a great action point for us, all of us, to get involved to try to help our government provide the tools faster so that Israel can do the job faster. And we need to urge President Biden and, catch this, President Biden and all of the presidential candidates to stop holding up aid to Israel. Given the existential threat that Israel's facing, it should be absolutely a priority of the current chief executive officer, but also of every presidential candidate. We need to know where they stand on this. And they need to be loud and clear about their support for Israel. And for that to happen, we're asking you to join us to put pressure on them to speak as to where they stand. And we're going to ask you to sign a petition asking this of President Biden and the presidential candidates. So this is going to go to all of them, and we want to know where they stand, and we want to help put pressure on them to stand. So you can do it one of two ways. You can go online to frcaction.org/support, or you can simply text the word support to 67742, and you'll be directed how to sign the petition. And again, thank you in advance for making your voice heard and helping us with this. All right, Democrats in Congress, and I might say there's stenographers in the legacy media as well, they all love to discuss Russian efforts to influence our elections. We've all heard this kind of stuff for years now. And look, I don't want to diminish. It's important that we should be on guard against any foreign effort that threatens our election integrity. No question about that. But why has the legacy media ignored the ongoing effort by a Swiss billionaire to exploit loopholes in our system? He's donated almost $500 million through a liberal dark money network that's explicitly designed to advance a left-wing policy agenda and politicians that hold to such agenda. How can Congress take action to close these loopholes? Well, joining me now for this election integrity discussion is J. Christian Adams. He's the president of the Public Interest Legal Foundation. J. Christian, welcome back to Washington Watch. Great to have you.
Thanks for having me, Congressman.
All right. So let's begin with this billionaire. Tell us who he is and what has he been able to accomplish?
Well, Hans Wiese is from, I believe, Switzerland. And as you know, foreign nationals are not allowed to make hard dollar contributions to federal candidates. But in the brand new world of 2024, what does that matter when you can make multi-million dollar contributions to 501c3s on the left who end up supporting those same candidates, groups like the League of Women Voters, which is a left-wing group, or the whole constellation of left-wing 501c3s in the election space. And Congressman, I can name 50 of them, but nobody would want to hear all the names, but Protect Democracy Project, all the Soros groups, ACLU, LULAC, on and on and on. And so what he does is he gives his donations to C3 charitable entities, not hard dollar donations to candidates. And then they end up striking down election integrity laws in Kansas, Arizona, Ohio just had a law struck down this week. And that's how he gets the job done. You don't need to give hard dollars to candidates when you could change the laws.
So that's the focus of this project, if you will, this campaign that he's involved with, is to alter our election laws in different states and thereby open the door for whatever else, be it fraudulent activity or advancing left-wing agenda or what? I mean, how does this work and what is the ultimate outcome when it does go through?
Well, I'll give you a hard example. Public Interest Legal Foundation is suing in Nevada and Washoe County, which is Reno, and Clark County, which is Vegas, over the fact they have thousands of people registered at commercial addresses, right? Like sleeping at Larry Flint's Hustler Club. I'm serious. That's one of them. Vacant lots, liquor stores, casinos, bars. They're registered voters there, and you're not allowed to do that. So we brought a lawsuit to try to get this cleaned up before the election. Well, what happens? Progressive 501c3 groups funded by donors try to intervene in our case to stop the voter roll cleanup because they like it that thousands of ballots get automatically mailed in Nevada to places like Larry Flint's Hustler Club, casinos, bars, head shops where they sell paraphernalia. They're all getting ballots, Congressman, automatically under Nevada law. So these progressive groups are trying to preserve the status quo, trying to make sure that the election stays broken, and we have to fight them in court. We have hearings to try to keep them out of the case. So it's just one small little example out of hundreds like it, where C3 money through Swiss billionaires is affecting our elections.
Well, this is one of those individuals that previously, to be very honest with you, I was not familiar with. You would think I would have heard of this guy before, but I haven't. But what I've come to find out is the Wiese family, they have actually been very open in their goal to reinterpret the American Constitution in light of progressive policies and woke radical agenda. So what is their ultimate goal, their ultimate outcome? What are they hoping to see?
Yeah, they want to reshape America into a European, a semi-socialist, progressive, secular country. That's their goal. And they're not very shy about it either. They want to impose their values through the C3 infrastructure. When I say C3, I mean 501c3 groups that are charities, ACLU, NAACP, LULAC, League of Women Voters, all of this constellation, as I called it earlier, of left-wing groups. They want to change America through C3 dollars. And frankly, Congressman, they're having a pretty good result so far. I mean, it's one of the things that's transformed this country fundamentally are all these left-wing C3 groups.
All right. So what are some of the loopholes that are being exploited? What are we talking about here that needs to be corrected?
When Congress wrote the campaign finance laws, they were focused on hard dollar contributions to candidates. In other words, I write a check for a congressman's reelection or a senator's reelection or the president, and that money goes straight to the congressman, and he can spend it however he wants. And Congress decided that's a bad idea to let foreigners make those contributions. So it's actually a crime. You can't make contributions to candidates if you aren't an American citizen. But there's a loophole, and that's the C3 world. When it comes to hard dollars, Congressman, C3 spending in campaigns or to shape the country is about 10 times hard dollar expenditures. It runs into the billions of dollars by left-wing C3s. Planned Parenthood, NARAL, NOW, I don't know if NOW even still exists, Natural Organization of Women. If you're out there, you're doing a bad job. But the point is, they use these C3 charitable dollars to get around the hard dollar ban in Congress. So what does that mean? It means maybe Congress ought to look at this problem and say, not only can you not contribute directly to candidates, you can't contribute to American 501c3 organizations, because they're the ones doing the heavy lifting now for the left, is the C3 groups.
Well, I can pretty much assure you that just as I was, there are many members of Congress who are not aware of the exploitation of this loophole. And that's one of the reasons we wanted to have you on to discuss this, to put some wind to this sail and to highlight what's going on. If I can, though, switching gears with you while I have you, the Public Interest Legal Foundation has an ongoing investigation into fraudulent addresses that have been used to register voters in Nevada. This has been an issue with election integrity that's raised a lot of concern with a lot of people. Tell us what's going on there in Nevada.
The worst part about it is, remember, that Nevada automatically mails ballots to every single registered voter, even dead or alive, and some dead people will get them. But every single person on the list, they don't even have to ask for it. The government just mails ballots to everyone. So when you have corrupted voter rolls, and we visited, you should see our video. If you Google Public Interest Legal Foundation or PILF Nevada video, you'll see it. We went to visit these places. We went to the Sonic drive-in where people were registered to vote at Sonic. We went to bars and kino parlors, and we didn't go into the strip clubs, but we stood outside and took video. We went into these liquor stores where people are automatically going to get ballots mailed to them if they're just on the rolls. And Congressman, it's a serious problem, because we know that in Nevada, the voters don't live there, because we visited. There is no voter at thousands of addresses. So those ballots are going to go mailed in. Apartment complexes are going to have piles of ballots in the lobby. And remember, the U.S. Senate race in Nevada was decided by about 7,000 votes. And we know that 95,000 ballots got screwed up in the mail last time. So it's the worst way to run an election. It's a shame they get any electoral votes with a system this messed up.
Yeah, I mean, that kind of stuff. I just recently wrote a book on election integrity, and I deal with this issue of the voter rolls. And this type of thing, I mean, Georgia, where I'm from, has had major problems, still does, in many regards on the voter rolls being kept accurate. And you deal with what's happening there in Nevada. There are so many other states, Wisconsin, so many places, that this is a massive issue. How can we, and perhaps what can we make of the election officials there in Nevada and some of these other states who absolutely fail? They are resistant to investigate obvious, like you just mentioned, commercial addresses. What do we make of these elected officials who refuse to investigate and fix errors on the voter roll?
Well, first of all, we're going to find out next month because we have some hearings in court in both Clark County, which is Vegas, and Washoe, which is Reno, on our lawsuit. So we're going to see if the defendants decide, uh-oh, we got to do something about this problem before we mail ballots. But I will tell you, Congressman, that the Nevada Secretary of State called us because they wanted to intervene in the case. Intervene means join the case. And when we first talked to them, we thought they wanted to intervene on our side. Because after all, isn't it their job as the Secretary of State to keep the voter rolls clean? Well, we were disabused of that idea very quickly when they told us they wanted to intervene to preserve the broken status quo, that they wanted to get involved in the case to defend the messed up system. What does that tell you about the Nevada Secretary of State? I don't think your viewers need me to tell them what that means, but it is not a good state of affairs.
Wow. Yeah, and the truth is that these fraudulent addresses matter, especially, I mean, always, but especially when you have close elections. You touched on it a little while ago with the Senate race, but put this in perspective for us, how important this issue is.
One vote can make a difference. We have a tied election database, Congressman Heiss, at Public Interest Legal Foundation. All the elections in the country that ended in a tie, a flat tie in the last couple of years. You know how many we're up to? Like 740. It's not just every now and then that they end in a tie. It's a regular occurrence, and that's why everybody's vote makes a difference. So when you have a place like Nevada or you have a place like Pennsylvania where non-citizens have been getting on the voter rolls there for 20 years, and we're in court against them too in the Third Circuit Court of Appeals after we won at the lower court, they want to hide how bad the problem is in Pennsylvania with non-citizen voting. So when you have elections ending in a tie and you have corrupted voter rolls, automatic mail voting to commercial addresses, non-citizen voting, it can make a real difference in the country.
So what is the solution to all of that? At the end of the day, how do we fix it?
Well, the line that just came to me is fight, fight, fight. And I promise I haven't used that before. I mean, literally, we have to keep working this. If you are getting mail and election mail from somebody who used to live in your house, call the election office and get that off the rolls before it gets exploited. If you move to another state, change your address and your election address. Better yet, if you can volunteer to work the polls on election day, okay, I know it's hard, I know it's long, I've done it, it's no fun, but go volunteer with the county because they always need volunteers to work at a precinct. I've never met a county that doesn't need more people. So put your eyes on the process.
So our viewers and listeners right now, all across the country, is there anything that you would say to them? We got less than a minute, but what would you say to them to get involved with this?
Yeah, all you got to do is look up your county election office and there's going to be a place to volunteer. I want to tell people it's going to be a better election than it was in 2020. Okay, there's a lot of reasons why. Yeah, it's going to be better. So don't think your vote's not going to count. It's going to count. And you need to turn out. And if you don't turn out, then you can just watch this country fall to pieces.
Yeah, I totally agree. And there's been lots of the state legislatures that have made great strides to secure elections more than they have been in the past. But look, we have to vote. We have to pray, vote, and stand. I mean, that's what we have to do. And J. Christian Adams from the Public Interest Legal Foundation, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks
on Washington Watch. It's our pleasure. All right, friends, that wraps up this Thursday edition of Washington Watch. Thank you so much for joining us. Hope you have a fantastic rest of your evening, and we'll be back tomorrow with you again right here on Washington Watch. See you then.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is brought to you by Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. Portions of the show discussing candidates are brought to you by Family Research Council Action. For more information on anything you heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com.